Welcome to the first episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I am Adele Hardy, cow-calf field specialist based out of Rapid City. I'm going to be your host today, and we are going to be visiting about the importance of nitrate testing feeds and how a couple of South Dakota producers have had their forages tested and used that information to make management decisions regarding their livestock operations. We're going to go ahead and get started, and I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. Give me your name, a little bit about where you're at, and why nitrates and nitrate testing is an important issue for you. And I guess I'll go ahead and let Pete start.
Okay. I'm Pete Anderson. I live in northwestern South Dakota, and we do have quite a little nitrate trouble over the years we have, and that's the reason we test for it.
Great. Levi?
Levi Swanson. I'm from Crooks, just north of Sioux Falls, a few miles. We typically don't have a lot of nitrate issues over in our area, except for years like this when it's extremely dry. And this year we noticed some big differences with nitrates being in our crops out here.
Well, you have. I think up here we're a lot drier normal years, you know, is the reason we see it more.
Yeah, and typically it seems like over here on the eastern side we have enough subsoil where you can push those forage crops through and you won't see much of a difference. But a year like this, no rain in May, no rain in June, I mean, nothing to really add up to anything, really made a big difference in these forage crops over here.
Oh, yeah.
So to give our listeners a little bit of perspective, can you guys share what your annual average rainfall is typically in your area and maybe what it has been this year or close to anyway?
I guess I don't really know what our average is up this way.
I think over here, we're typically around the 20 to 25 inches, give or take, you know. But right now, I think it was a month ago, I heard on the radio, in a 12-month span from last month, we've only seen 9 inches over here.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you're about half of average or even less than that from the way it sounds.
Yeah, we're pretty dry.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about nitrates, and you guys talked a little bit about why it's important to you and that you've each had some issues in the past and this year with the drought conditions that we have. One of the areas that I work in is livestock nutrition, meaning the nitrates are a big concern for keeping those, especially females, bred, but then we don't want any animals to perish either. And some of the forage crops that we see the biggest issues in are, you know, oats, millet, sedan, sorghums, things like that. And I think you both had some experience with oats, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the services that SDSU Extension offers is a nitrate quick test for standing forages. And Pete, I know that you've utilized that service with some of your forage crops. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about your experience and maybe how you use that information?
Well, I just clip off about the height that I'm going to cut it. And that's when I took to Robin and had her test it then for me. And just before I cut it to see if it was... It wasn't real good to start with, so I wasn't going to cut it if it couldn't feed it. So,
right. And so has this been a test that you've used multiple years, or do you see Robin regularly, or is it something that you kind of wait and see what the situation's like and then decide what you're going to do?
Well, sometimes we've sent it in through, like in Bison, I think it was Bob Crow's, and they'll just send in to us. They send it into a lab and have a check too. If I'm not in no big hurry to check it right away. So,
okay.
And then they can give the protein and stuff that's in it too back on that if you want it.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Sending it into a lab for analysis is always good, because with the quick test that SDSU Extension has, it's a qualitative test, not quantitative. So we just get a positive or negative result, but it allows producers to be able to say, yes, there's nitrate in this forage, or no, there's not. And then you can decide, if there's no nitrate, you can go on out and hay that field or whatever your plans were with it. Okay. So Levi, I know that you haven't utilized the quick test in the past. Is that something that you would be interested in, or how might you utilize a tool like that for your operation?
Well, now that I know you guys have that, and having my sister so close to me and she's not mentioning that she had that, I'll definitely do that.
Yes. When you have a family member that can test it for you, that makes it very helpful for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I would have known that before I went and put all my hay up. Cause yeah, that was, I mean, when I knocked it down, it was an afterthought. But I didn't think I'd have any issues because I had oats that were standing 5 to 6 feet tall and just looked great. But when I went back and took some samples, sent it down to my nutritionalist and got the analysis back, it was a completely different story than what I thought I was going to see on the results there. So.
Yeah. And then that makes it very challenging to figure out how to utilize that feed after the fact. And once it's already in a bale, it's a little bit more challenging to make changes to what you can do on the production side of it.
How high was that then?
I don't even want to say. It was just about touching 4,000 parts per million.
Well, it was, man. That is not him.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes hard lessons learned, but you did send it to the commercial lab. So can you talk through why you decided to send it to a lab? And what you learned from that? I mean, you kind of alluded to it already about how high it was and that maybe won't do that again in the future, but share a little bit about that.
Well, I always like to send in whatever forage I have put up just to see, you know, the nutritional analysis on it. And after I put it up as hay, I started wondering a little bit more. I was like, oh, I wonder if nitrates are going to be an issue in this. And sure enough, it was, but the main reasoning why I send that in is just, I always like to know what I have because it's kind of a deal in my mind. I mean, you can't really manage what you can't measure. So I like to be able to measure everything that I have on the place, and feeding a lot of TMRs back here. I mean, it's always nice to know exactly what you have going into that TMR.
Right. It helps on the nutrition side of things for those of us who are nutritionists too, to be able to develop rations that are going to meet the requirements of those livestock if we know what the actual analysis is of the feeds also. I want to get Pete, what's your perspective and how have you used the information? You know, why did you send samples to a lab? And then what did you learn from some of the samples that you sent in?
Mainly what I sent in, we usually feed a combination of feed to our cows of alfalfa and grass, so we don't really worry too much about the nutrition test on that.
And so just to give people a little bit of perspective, you know, Levi said you're using TMRs. That's how you're going to be delivering feed to your cattle. When you're feeding your cows, Pete, how is that? I mean, are you just rolling bales out? Are you processing them?
Usually just roll the bales out to them.
Okay.
And then we feed ear corn along with it.
Okay. Very good.
And I kind of watch more for the condition on the cows. If they're not doing as good, we feed better hay.
Yep. Great. Always got to monitor body condition of those cows, see which direction they're going. And if they need a little more energy, give them a little more energy. If they're maintaining, that works.
Weather's got a lot to do with it too.
It does. And we can change a lot from where Levi's cows are to where your cows are.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely. So when you've sent those samples into the lab, and I know, Levi, you and I have had some discussions on how we can possibly utilize those oats that are higher in nitrates this year, but how have you used those results to make some management decisions just to make sure that we don't cause any issues with our livestock, especially our pregnant cows?
Yeah, I guess getting those results back and seeing what they were, you know, after I got those results back, I kind of went out and talked to you and a couple other people and asked questions of, you know, how the nitrates would affect these animals and, you know, at what percentage can you feed that? So, I mean, it kind of helped me develop a whole plan as to where I was going to use that feed and how much of it I could use in certain areas, you know, with different animals. So yep. That's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah. And unfortunately with some of our nitrate test results, when they get to be extremely high, we can only utilize those feeds for calves. So such as Levi's example of high nitrate oats, they're only going to be able to be utilized in a TMR for calves. Otherwise, our risk for causing abortions in some of those cows is too high. So what about you, Pete? How have you made some decisions or changed how you used feeds based on lab results?
Well, we use, like, we've had high nitrates other years, and we grind it, our hay, but we grind in two or three different piles, and the higher nitrate, we can just feed a little bit every day to the, but we feed it to calves too. That's how we utilize the high nitrate. So either that or after they calve, then we've gotten by feeding some of it too.
Very good.
At what levels do you stop feeding hay to a cow? You know, at what nitrate level is too high for those cows, a pregnant cow?
Yeah, that's a great question, Levi, because what we consider safe for all livestock is 1,000 parts per million and lower. But at 2,000 parts per million, we have to stop feeding that to pregnant cattle at all. So that's a very narrow window to be able to utilize it for pregnant females.
They don't recommend to blend it even at that high, do they, for pregnant?
No. Nope. So at 1,000 to 1,500 parts per million, you limit that to 50% of your ration for pregnant animals. From 1,000 to 2,000 parts per million, you limit it to 50% of the ration for all animals. Pregnant animals are going to hit that 50% level earlier, right at 1,000 parts per million. And then after 2,000, you don't want to feed that to pregnant animals at all. And then 4,000 is the upper threshold of feeding to any livestock, because we can't effectively blend it or safely blend it down well enough. Just ensure we don't have any hot spots that would be detrimental to those livestock. So as you guys think about your own situations, your own experiences, you know, I think about a lot of the quick test results that we've had this year. And, you know, surprisingly, we've got quite a few corn samples that I've tested, because I've got producers who are looking at either baling standing corn or are already making silage. And surprisingly, those corn samples that I've tested are all negative for nitrates, which I don't have an answer for that. It's really surprising. But, you know, what advice would you give other producers who are maybe concerned about some forage crops or corn or whatever else as they're looking at nitrates and considering your own situation and knowing what resources are available?
I guess what I would say is take all the tests that you can, figure out what you have, and figure out the best solution for what you're working with. I mean, as for us back here, you know, we can at least chop and sile and hopefully get some of those nitrate levels down in those piles, you know, as it ferments and everything. And knowing what you have is the biggest thing. I mean, don't go out and feed just whatever without knowing what's there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Levi, you brought up a great point there, as far as being able to utilize that higher nitrate corn for silage and being able to break down some of those nitrates through that fermentation process. I think that's really important, because we can lose or decrease our nitrates by approximately 50% if that fermentation process occurs correctly, but we have to make sure the moisture is correct and that pile is packed good so that nitrate can be converted into ammonia in that anaerobic environment. One of the things that we need to think about or consider this year is that drought stressed corn can be kind of deceiving on how much moisture it has in it. Don't be getting too antsy to chop silage, because it may be too wet. And then if you do have high nitrates, may not get that to decrease as much as you would like in a normal year.
What about balage? You know, wrapping bales?
Balage is going to be very similar to silage.
Okay.
Because you're going to go through that fermentation process. As long as your moisture's right, it's an anaerobic environment. If you do have the nitrates, it would break that down to ammonia. Oftentimes I hear of producers talk about prussic acid and nitrates, and they act very similar in the animal, but the prussic acid is going to be concentrated in the leaves of the sedans and sorghums, whereas nitrates' highest concentration is going to be in the lowest one-third of that stalk. That's why if we're looking at harvesting a crop and we know it's got some nitrates in it, but we can adjust cutting heights to a little bit higher to decrease our nitrate level. Whereas prussic acid, once that plant is frozen, those cell walls rupture, that hydrocyanic acid is released. You give it about 10 days and it's safe. After a frost, nitrates is nitrates. That's where it's always going to be. It's never going to decrease.
It isn't.
Nope.
Do we ever see any nitrate issues in alfalfa crop?
That's an interesting question. I personally have not, but based on some of the literature, it does show that we could see high nitrates in alfalfa crops, also sweet clover. And okay. So depending on the situation, it might be a good idea to have it tested. It's not one of the crops that's high on the list for nitrate accumulation, but based on the literature, yes, you can have it.
So I was curious about that with our alfalfa crop back here. You know, typically we can push a ton and a half, 2 tons per cutting and get 4 cuttings back here. And we've only been getting half a ton. And that just kind of struck my curiosity was, are we going to see nitrate issues in the alfalfa back here if guys are putting it up as dry hay?
I would be really interested to see if you do send a sample in on that. I would be interested to see your results and what those nitrates might be. I don't know. This year's, it's interesting. Well, for more information on nitrates and some of our nitrate resources, we've got those available on the SDSU Extension website. We've got a publication there that lists the levels of nitrates that you would get back from your feed analysis and how you can utilize that feed in rations for cows and calves. And once we kind of hit that threshold when we can no longer utilize it for cows, if you have any more questions or any topics for future podcasts, please email myself, Adele Hardy, Robin Salverson, Olivia Amundson, or Kiernan Brandt. So thank you all for listening. Once again, this has been Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information.